We'll be in John chapter 10 for our message this morning. John chapter 10. You know, it's I keep pointing out the importance of you of the fact that we're not under the law, because I keep going on these websites and I keep looking for some churches to fellowship with in this area. And I find the statement of faith in many of them. I'd stand up and preach it. In fact, I stand up and preach it almost every time I stand in the pulpit. Then I listen to the messages and I don't hear what they say in their statement of faith. And I hear the law being preached. And I know men have all different excuses for, you know, why they preach these things, but there is no excuse, really. And our text here today, the Pharisees were in the worst sin of all. They were in the worst sin of all. And the Lord dealt with them in the way that He instructs His messengers to deal with everyone who's in sin. And a lot of times our thoughts are, is if somebody's in sin, we want to take the law and instruct them out of the law and somehow correct them with the law. And the law is very important to teach us our sin, no doubt about that. But what the Pharisees were doing, and the sin that they were guilty of, was of preaching the law. That's what they were preaching, was the law. To get men to be good, godly folks. That's why they were preaching the law. And Christ stood up before them and He said in John chapter 10, He said, "Verily, verily," verse 1, "I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." You see, they were teaching men not to steal. They were teaching men that the law says, "Thou shalt not steal." But Christ said, by teaching men that, and teaching them that they're somehow more accepted of God by that, you're a thief and a robber. You're attempting to rob me of my glory, Christ said. That's the sin. That's the sin that keeps sinners from Christ. Our righteousness is. And I want to just look here with you today down at verse 27. We'll look at some of all of this as we go. But my text this morning is verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." The title of the message is "The Shepherd and His Sheep." The Shepherd and His Sheep. The Lord begins here in verse 27 and He says, "My sheep." God distinguishes between sinners. He makes a distinction between sinners. He says here, "My sheep," and there in verse 26, He said, "But you believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you." That's pretty clear. We read over in Romans 9:16, it says, "Salvation's not of him that willeth, That's all we can do by the law. Nor of him that runneth. That's all we can do by the law. But salvation's of God who shows mercy. He shows mercy on whom he'll show mercy. Hebrews 2 and verse 16 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He didn't take upon him the form of angels. So there's some angels that fell that aren't God's elect angels, and he didn't come for them. He didn't come for them. God distinguished, his mercy is distinguishing mercy. You know, we used to go to a sale barn. I don't know if you have those up here. It's where you go buy cattle. And everybody takes their cattle to this barn. And I used to love to go when I was about y'all's age. I'd go with my grandfather, my dad, and we would we'd go out before we went into the auction, and you'd go walking down this long way down through there that was up above all of the cattle, and you walk down through there to look at all the cattle. And I took Emma and Will to one in Tennessee, and they had a bunch of sheep there. And those sheep would come in, and they'd bring them into the little arena there where they'd auction off these sheep. And they just come in, and they just, and they're dumb. Sheep are dumb. They're real dumb, and they stink too. And there's nothing about a sheep that is a very flattering term, other than Christ saying they're my sheep. But when we would pick out, you know, what we were going to take home with us, when you picked them out and you bought them and paid for them and you loaded them up and took them with you, they're your sheep. They're your sheep. And Christ said, they're my sheep. And it's a blessed word here that he says, my sheep. They're his sheep by purpose. They're his sheep by purchase. They're his sheep by divine calling. This is true. The Lord's Paul told Timothy, the Lord has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We're his by purchase. He said there in John 10, verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Father knew him, righteous through and through, a fit, spotless sacrifice. And he said, and I laid down my life for the sheep. And thereby, brethren, it says, God purchased us with his own blood through Christ. Offering, his laying down his life, and we're his by divine call. We're all God's sheep are born into this earth spiritually deaf. We can't hear him, can't understand him. The Pharisees were sitting here. The reason the Lord's saying this is the Pharisees opposed him. They opposed everything he said. And Scripture says here, it says, verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They couldn't hear it. They could hear his, audibly they could hear him, but they couldn't hear him in the heart. They didn't have any idea what he was saying. But our Lord calls, and we hear his voice. We hear him in his word. We hear him through his pastors. We hear him through our brethren. Because we hear his voice. He calls his sheep by name, leads them out of darkness into light. He brings them out of bondage into liberty, out of death into life. That's what the Lord's teaching here. He's teaching the Pharisees, you're not going to bring a man out of bondage the way you fellas are trying to bring him out of bondage. He said, I'm the door. I'm the shepherd. I have some sheep, and they're going to hear my voice. If we're going to speak to his sheep, we got to speak the sheep's language. We got to speak that which he said. When he told Peter, feed my sheep, Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and he brought forth some sheep food to feed the sheep. And Christ spoke through him, and his sheep heard his voice. They heard him. And that's what he says here, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. These are they that follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth." Sheep recognize the false shepherds from the true. And it's for this reason, over in 1 John 2:27, it says, "The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." This is a heart language. "The anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you." 1 John 2:27. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." This is hearing his voice. Now, let me give you a little background here, what the Pharisees were saying. The Pharisees opposed Christ, and here's some of the reasons why. Well, here's what they had done. They set themselves up as the shepherds in God's church among his people. They set themselves up as shepherds. And since the Lord Jesus Christ came, and he didn't receive any authority from them, since he wasn't brought up under Dr. Gamaliel and didn't receive authority from him to be teaching in their temple, they wouldn't hear him. But they went further than that. They didn't want anybody else hearing him either. There's a natural enmity. There's a natural hatred in us by nature. As we're born in Adam, there's a natural hatred in us. And I tell you how you can tell it. Because if somebody out there is saying a lie, I'm going to warn you what lies are when we're sitting here. But I don't have to yoke you to keep you from going there, wherever they're going. But the Pharisees wanted to stop this message of Christ from being preached at all. They did not want God's sovereign, free, distinguishing grace, his particular redemption. They didn't want it preached at all. Not at all. Because it was going to interfere with their authority. It was going to interfere with their self-appointment. It was going to interfere with their power over the people. And so they brought up accusations against the Lord. And when they couldn't, they had no accusation, they made up accusations against him. And they tightened their grip on the people and oppressed the people. And they told the people you'll be cast out of the synagogue if you go this way. That's when they brought that. It was such a tight grip. You remember when the Lord healed the blind man and they brought him before the synagogue, into the synagogue before the chief rulers and the priests and all of them. And they brought his parents in there. And they asked his parents, they said, "Who healed him?" And this grip was so tight and so oppressive, and this yoke was so binding on them, that they were fearful of losing everything, his parents were. All their rights, even as citizens. And they said, "He's of age, let him answer for himself." This grip was so tight, they would sooner turn away from their own son and deny their own son and Christ Jesus the Lord himself than give up their position in the church. And that was the same thing happening with the Pharisees. And when the Lord ascended back to the Father, they attempted to mingle the law with Christ. This thing began. It's always been around, but they when they couldn't just out and out reject Christ and stopped Peter and John and others in the early church. Then Judaizers came into the church of Galatia and started saying, well, if we can't beat them, let's just tell them it's okay to believe on Christ, but now you're still under the law. You're still under the law. You got to obey the law now. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? I want to stick with our text here, but I want to show you a couple of things and to understand why the Lord, why I preach Christ and Him crucified. Why Paul said, I was told the Corinthians, I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And why everything Paul said to the Corinthians was that there'd be no distraction among them from worshiping Christ and Him crucified. And I want to show you a few things here. And this is what the Lord is saying to them. He's saying, there's nobody going to be made obedient to God. There's nobody going to be made honest before God. They're not going to be good citizens before in the community by this thing. It's going to have to take the Spirit of grace working in their heart. But here's what they were. I want to show you a couple of things first. I asked this question earlier. I want to say this here before we go any further. The law includes the whole law given by God in Mount Sinai. This has become real apparent to me recently, real clear to me. There's things I've been hearing and trying to look at this and see what's being taught to people. Over in 2 Chronicles 33:8, Manasseh was... He didn't walk in the ways of his father. He was an evil ruler, but I want you to see there in 2 Chronicles, and I go home tonight and read this, because what he did was he built up idols and what have you, and the Lord told him, he said, look here with me. It says, verse 3, he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He reared up altars for Balaam and made groves and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Now, what's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, if you'll look down here with me at verse 8, this is what the Lord said. He said, before all the tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Verse 8, he says, neither will I any more remove the foot of Israel from out of the land which I have appointed for your fathers, so that they will take heed to do all that I have commanded, all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and the ordinances. And he commanded them by the hand of Moses. This was the law of Sinai. Now, over in Galatians 5:3, when Paul told the Galatians, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. The argument men will say there is, they'll say, well, that's talking about ceremonial law. That's not talking about moral law. And they divide it. Say, it's talking about ceremonial law, not moral law. When they were under the law, Paul referred to them as circumcision, and the Gentiles as uncircumcision. But he says here, if a man is circumcised, that actual sign of circumcision, if he's circumcised, if he goes to the law at all, he's a debtor to do the whole law. The whole law spoken of there is the same whole law spoken of back there in 2 Chronicles. It's the whole law given by God from Mount Sinai. Now, if Christ put an end to the ceremonies, did he not fulfill what men call the moral law too? Yes, he did. He fulfilled them both. But I'll tell you why men divide the two. I'll tell you why they divide the two. Because everybody knows in our day that we're not under the ceremonial law. In the early church, the Pharisees tried their dead level best to have people to observe the ceremonial law because it hadn't been fully abolished yet till the Lord abolished it in 70 A.D. But now in our day, you'd run me out of here on a rail if I came in here and said, now, Scott, you better get you some lambs and start sacrificing those lambs because you know I'm not under ceremonial law. But now if I tell you, that's the ceremonial law there, talking about that when it says we're not under the law in Galatians, that's talking about ceremonial law. Now, you're under the moral law. You're under it. Now I can preach the law to you. Now I've justified my rebellion in which the Pharisees were doing and the Lord was rebuking them for. Now I can justify it and I can stand up here and preach the law to you because I've made a distinction between the two. And if a man stands up and say, we're not under the law, we're under grace. I say, oh, no. You're confusing the ceremonial law with the moral law. We're under the moral law. Well, let me give you a few reasons Scripture says men will do this. Carnal men preach the law because they refuse to hear the law. A man that preaches, thou shalt not steal. Paul said, do you steal? Do you not hear what the law says about you stealing? When you judge another and preach that message, you're condemning your own self because you're a thief and a robber, the Lord said. Now, instead, and they won't confess they're guilty. Won't confess they're guilty. And carnal men hate the Holy One, Jesus Christ. If you look at Isaiah 30 in verse 9, this is speaking of mankind, is who this is speaking of in Isaiah 30 and verse 9. This is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, to the preachers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression, fraud, and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Look down at verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to who? To Him. In returning and rest. Resting where? In Christ our rest. In returning and rest shall you be saved, in quietness and in confidence. In who? In Christ. That should be your strength, and you would not. You would not. You wouldn't hear the law. You said, preach smooth things to us. Tell us how we ought to be reforming the world and going out and providing for the poor and the needy and all these things. Brethren, that's great. But don't think for a minute that's going to make you righteous. Don't think for a minute that's going to justify you before God. And don't entertain the thought for a minute that that's going to make you any more holy before God. Any more accepted of God at all. Period. Is that clear? Period. That's what the Pharisees were saying. Carnal men. Turn to, if you will, to Galatians 2. Carnal men preach the law in order to bind sinners to do what they want them to do. In Galatians 2:4, Paul said, these are false brethren, unawares brought in unaware, who came in privily, very carefully, to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Because if they can bring us into bondage and bind us in bondage, they get us to do what they want us to do. To keep their power and their authority. And Paul says, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. That the truth of the gospel might continue in you. There, Galatians 6. Carnal men preach the law because to preach Christ and Him crucified as being the full finished work of redemption is going to bring persecution from those who hate Christ and His finished work and want to hear about their own works. He says here, verse 12, there in the middle of that verse, he says, they want to preach the law only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Look here, and stay right there. Carnal men preach the law because in getting sinners to obey the law, the carnal mind, even the man who gets you to do it, the preacher who gets you to do it, and the folks who are sitting there who are doing the same thing to everybody else in the congregation, they're not doing the law either. But if they can get you to do it, they can glory in your flesh. Think they can come before God and He'll accept them more because didn't we do many wonderful works? Look at all these people we got following you and obeying you. Verse 12 there. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. So you see, if when the Lord's speaking here, the reason the Pharisees didn't like it was because to take away the law is to take away their righteousness and expose their folly. To take away the law is to take away their power over men, over sinners. To take away the law is to take away the only gospel they knew because they didn't hear what the law said. To take away the law is to say that salvation's in Christ alone, and that means a sinner has to bow and confess Him to be Lord. And a man can't make himself do that. And therefore men hate this message. But Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Is that not plain? Is that not simple and clear? Well, let's look here. Now, let me say this to you. Paul told the Corinthians that he was not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He said, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But we're under the law to Christ. What's that mean? That means the perfect law of liberty is that Christ has perfectly fulfilled the law on my behalf. I am perfectly justified before the law. I'm perfectly righteous before the law. I've been made the very holiness of God. And I'm not going back to the law to use that to try to yoke you to do anything, drive you to do anything. I'm not using that law to try to look at to condemn or make myself more righteous before God. We use the law to show Christ from it. We use the law to show our sinfulness from it. But we don't ever use the law. And what I hear is men being left with an impression. Because if Christ is not if he's not the message, and if the message is not shutting men up to Christ alone, then a sinner will leave that congregation, leave hearing that message with the thought that this is how I'm made righteous, or more sanctified by my works. That's not true. That's not true. And I tell you why these fellows, they do it because they want that position. It's the same reason the Pharisees right here, they wouldn't bow and they didn't want to let go. It just comes down to each of us. It comes down to what we are by nature. When Christ is dealing with each of us, we don't want to let go of it because we're thieves and robbers by nature. We want to come up some other way. We want to enter in some other way. And that way we want to enter in, it's through the law. But our ignorance and our depravity, our backwardness in sin is that God gave that law. He gave that law for the purpose of revealing our sin and giving us the knowledge of sin, that it be our schoolmaster to drive us to Christ. And yet, we're so backwards in sin that we think that we can fool God. We think we can deceive God with His own law. That's just utter ignorance, isn't it? But that's what, well, that's how we think. Until Christ comes in and does what He did right here and reveal, I'm the door. I'm the shepherd. Let me move along here. But look what the Lord answered them here in verse 1. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same's a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He is the door and he is the shepherd. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. These are all, this is will. This is shall. This is not maybe. This is how it is, brethren. It's, he's not saying he's gonna drive them. That's what you do with the law. You drive men with the law. That word schoolmaster over there in Galatians is a strict taskmaster. That's what the law is. It whips men. He said, I call them by name, and I lead them, and they follow me. They lead, you know, sheep will follow a shepherd. And you can take down all the fences. You can take down all the hedges. You can just have an open field with no restraints on them. And they'll just follow their shepherd. They'll just follow him. But you know, my great uncle, had some goats. And he had fences around those goats. And every day those goats would get hung up in that fence because they wanted to get out of that fence. Every day trying to get through that fence. That's the law, is that binding, that yoke, and they want to break it, and get out of it. Sheep just hear the voice of the master, the shepherd, and follow him. That's what I'm saying, brother. That's why I insist that we have to preach the gospel of Christ and Him crucified, because if that's how He speaks to us, and that's how He causes us to follow Him. And if anything else is preached that makes you do something that appears to be righteous before men, it's hypocrisy, because you ain't been changed in your heart. You don't believe God in your heart. It's just it's a fair show in the flesh is all it is. And folks, but men say, well, how in the world, if you preach that message, that's going to lead to all kind of lawlessness. For a goat, it will. The fence can't hedge in a goat. He's going to try to get out of that. This gospel being preached is going to make a goat go, well, let's sin that grace may abound that much more. But not the sheep. The sheep are going to hear the voice of the shepherd and follow him. And that carnal religion can't understand that, because they don't hear the voice of the shepherd. Never heard it. Never seen the delight in Christ Jesus the Lord. And if I stand up and preach it, afraid folks won't come. And they won't. They'll leave. But if they, better for folks to be offended and leave and go someplace else, and you be seated at the feet of Christ worshiping Him, than for you to stand up and lead men straight to hell by works. I mean, which is better? Let God be true and every man a liar. That's what we got to preach. The Lord said, I know them. He said, I've engraven them on the palms of my hands. And I know him. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And look here, it says, verse 28, and he gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. You know, that word give, that word is a great word, because that means you're eternally secure, because salvation's a gift. Eternally secure. Follow me with on that. If it's a gift, it's free. Do you, when y'all gather together for your birth, somebody's birthday, you make that person, that person's having a birthday, do you make them buy the gift you brought them? Well, you buy it for them and you bring it and give it to them, don't you? It's free. And if it's free, that means it can't be worked for. You're not going to take any work for it. You're not going to take any price. It's free. Can't be earned. And if it can't be earned, that means it's by grace alone. God's grace to give it to whomsoever he's pleased. And if it's grace alone, if it's God's showing mercy and grace to whomsoever he will, that means it cannot be altered. It can't be changed because God changes not. It can't be altered by our enemies. Can't be altered by us. Can't be altered by our sin. Can't be altered at all. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nothing take from it, and God doeth it for this reason, that men should fear before him. Grace makes a man become a mercy beggar. Has to. Because when God works grace in the heart, we see what a God he is. And we cry out for mercy. Well, he says, I give them eternal life and they'll never perish. What if my mind goes? He says, I know them. I know them. You folks that make the doctrine of justification by faith to be all encompassing upon your act of believing, well, what you going to do when you lose your mind and forget who he is? When your experience is gone, there's all your hope gone with it. My hope is this. He said, I know them that are mine. I lay down my life for my sheep. I can rest in that. I know that if I stray off or straggle behind, the good shepherd's going to come and get me. He's not going to let me go because he said, I bought you. You're mine. You're mine. That's what he said in Psalm 89. I don't have time to go over there, but go over there and read that too. Psalm 89, verses 30 through 37. Psalm 89, 30 through 37. And he says there that if they sin, well, let's turn over and read. We're just waiting on the Lord to return. We got plenty of time. Psalm 89. Psalm 89, verse 30. He says this. He's speaking of the seed of David, the seed of Christ. He said, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes, just like you parents chasing your children because you love them. But now read, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. You can underscore that and outline it right. My son, my king, Christ Jesus. I will not lie unto him. His seed shall endure forever in his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. That's sure. That's certain. That's secure. Now, one last thing here. The good shepherd preserves all his sheep. He says here, verse 28, John 10:28, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, he told Moses. Moses got a little sideways there one time, and he was all worried about how things were going. And as men tend to do, we think, well, we gotta put our hand to it to fix it. You know, we gotta whip somebody, or you know, get them in a headlock to yank them back in line. You know, and here's what the Lord told Moses. He said, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Just wait around and see. Just wait around and see." He said, here's how he said he's going to give you what he's going to give you from his hand. He said, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem." That's what I'm trying to do to you today. Speak comfortably to you. "And say to her, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." You know, everything we lost in Adam, the Lord restored to us. Everything we lost in Adam, he restored to his people. But more. More than what Adam lost. Because he offered himself through the eternal spirit. He obtained eternal redemption. We can't fall anymore. Can't be lost. Can't fall. Because we're secure in him. Secure in him. That's this hand, this mighty hand, that you can't pluck them out of his hand. He'd have to deny his son before you could pluck any out of his hand. This shepherd would have to be proven to be a weak, helpless failure before you can pluck any out of his hand. What did he say here about those that are preaching a lie? Look here in verse 7. He tells them, John 10:7, he said, "I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep didn't hear them." Sheep didn't hear them. "I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal." You see, that man who's preaching, "Don't steal," the reason he's preaching that message to you is because he's doing his dead level best to steal from you. He wants you to fill his pockets full, fill his belly full, put him in a nice car, put him in a nice house, put him in a good position, and he's wanting to rob God, he's wanting to rob you, he's wanting to rob everybody he can. The Lord said, "Everyone, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He said, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He said, verse 12, "He that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and careth not for the sheep. But he said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. And he said, I laid down my life for him. I laid down my life for him." Well, here's the conclusion of this thing. What's going to be the response? Folks, hear this message. What's going to be the response? Well, look at verse 19. "There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings." This is why Pharisees didn't want it preached. Because this God divides, he separates the wheat from the chaff through this message. And they said, "And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" I think I've probably been called a devil and mad. And folks ask, "Why are you listening to that fella?" That's okay. That's all right. Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" But listen here, that's always the response. It's a savor unto life for some, and it's a savor unto death unto others. That's the response. Some going to reject Christ by clinging to the law like the Pharisees did, and others going to reject him by saying, "Well, let's just sin. Let's just go on. And if that's how it is, then I can just sin all the more. If God's blessed, if he's glorified by my sin, I'll just sin more and more so I can glorify him more and more." You know what both those people do? Look here, verse 31. Then the Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work." 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. That's what both parties do. Both in the same camp. They stone him. Well, here's what the believer does. Romans 11:33. Here's the heart of the believer. And this is by his grace. This is when you hear his voice speak. This is what the twofold response of the believer is. He says, verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." That's what the believer, "how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it should be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And then go on there, Romans 12:1. And here's the second response of the believer. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the very fact that our God's merciful, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." You know what you do with a sacrifice? You kill it. You kill it. What did Paul say do with our body? Mortify the deeds of your body. Treat your body like it's dead. Present your body, but it's alive. It's living. It's alive unto God. Holy, acceptable unto God. Present your bodies that way. Present them as a living sacrifice. Don't give in to sin anymore. Don't walk in sin anymore. But present your bodies as holy, acceptable unto God, that's our reasonable service. It's reasonable. Anything unreasonable about that? "And be not conformed to this world." Now, brother, I'm going to tell you something that folks aren't telling you. If you go into places where the law is preached and you begin to run all over this world thinking you're obeying God's law, and even if you say it's not for righteousness, but you got that good feeling, you know, "I feel good. We've been serving God and feel good about what we're doing." You conform to this world. That's what the world does. The world doesn't do that. I mean, the God's people do not do that. "But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." What did the Lord Jesus Christ say it was? He said, "I'm the door." He said, "If any man entereth in by me, he'll find pasture." He'll find pasture. Well, with this world, you gotta tell folks something that they need to be doing, because how else are they going to get through this life? "My shepherd, he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death." That's what this is. That's what this world is. It's a valley. It's not death for the believer, it's just a shadow. Because he's given us eternal life. But as we pass through it, he leads us through it. He leads us through it. And that's what he said. "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. They enter in through him and follow him. So